Hello, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we take Governor Abbott's press conference live, where he's interrupted by Robert Francis O'Rourke. We talk about that in our sister episode as well. Also, an exciting new effort to try to reclaim theological sanity to the Southern Baptist Convention, and so much more. Email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. At Turning Point USA, you can start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. When you're at tpusa.com, give a gift of any amount, $5, $10, $15, $20, $100, and receive your copy of The Conservative Response to the Great Reset. That's tpusa.com. Turning Point USA is where we are making hope happen. We fight every day to pass American values down from one generation to the other. So go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com. If you want to support The Charlie Kirk Show, go to charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com. The wonderful andrewandtodd.com. You never know what's going to be happening in the world when you book guests and you put things together, but this is still a very important topic that we want to make sure we share with you today. And so I've been watching with great curiosity over the last couple of years about the Baptist Convention, the Southern Baptist Convention, and their leadership and their direction and how they're handling some of these issues of critical race theory and how it has been engaging with the church. And there is a movement to try to restore, in my opinion, theological and biblical sanity back to the convention. And one person in particular is a senior pastor from Grace Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida, beautiful Cape Coral, Florida, Tom Askell, and he's with us right now. Tom, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. I just want to first start and just ask you, as a pastor, just give our audience some words of comfort from the scriptures in this very unexpected and brutal time of national mourning as we look at what's happened in Uvalde, Texas.
Yeah, well, this ought to be a reminder to us that we live east of Eden. We live in a fallen world. It's precisely because of that that God sent his son, the Lord Jesus, into the world. And it is only through Christ we can find reconciliation with God. We can find the comfort that we need. God is with those who are brokenhearted. He deals gently with people who find themselves cast down. So my encouragement is to look to Christ, to recognize, again, why we need a Savior and how good God has been to us to give up his own son to save us from our sin. And we need to get that message of salvation as widely distributed as we can, because this type of evil continues in our world.
Mm. Amen. And that's the most important thing right now. And so thank you for that. I want to talk about the Southern Baptist Convention. So you've been nominated for SBC president, but Southern Baptists have to vote for you in the upcoming meeting in Anaheim to make it happen. Talk about that. Talk about how influential and how important the Southern Baptist Convention is. And talk about how the SBC has, in some ways, kind of veered off the path, in my personal opinion, in recent years when it comes to some of these issues of critical race theory and otherwise. Please.
Yeah, well, the SBC is the largest Protestant denomination in North America, and we educate one-third of all the seminary students in the United States. We have the largest missionary sending force in the world. So it matters. It matters. What happens to the SBC impacts far beyond the SBC. It impacts other evangelical institutions, organizations in North America, and indeed around the world, because America exports our Christianity, and the SBC has a lot of influence on the character and quality of that Christian faith in this generation. The president doesn't have a great deal of authority in the SBC, though he does have the mechanism at his disposal to begin a change. And we do need a change of direction in the Southern Baptist Convention. As you pointed out, these ideologies in our culture that have just infiltrated all the structures, all the institutions around us, have come inside the realm of the churches of the SBC as well as all evangelicals. I mean, so now we have housewives showing up at school board meetings, and they're decrying critical race theory, queer theory. All of these ideologies are being taught in our public education systems. And those same ideas in our culture have infiltrated our churches. And that's happened within the SBC. Several of us have tried to contend against it, to withstand it. 2019, I argued as strongly as I could to avoid seeing the convention adopt a resolution that's now infamously known as Resolution 9 that says critical race theory and intersectionality can be helpful analytical tools for us to use. That resolution passed, sadly. But since that time, we produced at Founders Ministries a documentary called By What Standard? It's available online on YouTube for free, or we'll send you a disc of it if you want that. And we've called attention to the fact that these things are coming. They're with us, and we've got to withstand them, because critical race theory, intersectionality, queer theory, all of that is incompatible with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are called upon in the scriptures to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And that's what is needed today. And that's why people have prevailed upon me to allow myself to be nominated to be president of the SBC in the annual meeting coming up in June.
Well, you are a breath of fresh air. And I know you're supported by Vodi Bakum, who is just phenomenal. One of the most gifted communicators. We've had him on our show. His book, Fault Lines, has been instrumental to so many people in our audience and so many pastors out there. And so you being president of the Southern Baptist Convention would be incredible in more ways than one. In the couple minutes we have remaining, can you speculate as to why some members of the SBC have been willing to adopt and entertain some of these ideologies? Why do you think that they have been as successful as they have? You and I would both agree that they are inconsistent and incongruent with theological truth and teaching, but yet they've had a surprising amount of success. Why do you think that is?
Well, two reasons. One, it's the cultural air that we breathe. And so we cannot escape the fact that we are living in a time when these kind of ideas are just permeating everything in culture. And if you're not having your defenses up and being on guard all the time, then you're going to be moved along by those cultural winds. And that happens more readily where there is not a rock-ribbed, solid commitment to the full inerrancy and authority of God's word and the lordship of Jesus Christ over every square inch of creation. And sadly, I think what's being exposed in our Southern Baptist Convention is that our theological convictions have been more theoretical than they have been practical, that our confessional theology has not moved into functional theology nearly as rigorously as it should have. And as a result, as we've been warned not to in Ephesians 4, I see that we have been moved along by various winds of doctrine out of our confessional parameters at points. And we need to be recovered. We need God to come and send us a great spirit of repentance and revival so that we can once again stand firm under the lordship of Christ.
Amen. Tom Askell, Senior Pastor, Grace Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. How can people support you if they go to a church that's part of the SBC? What is the call to action to try to return some strong theological foundation to the Southern Baptist Convention? What can our listeners do? What if they're members of churches, what can they do? What's the best way to bless you and help you in this effort?
Yeah, well, first and foremost is pray. God's got to do this. If I get elected in Anaheim, it will be an act of God. I'm just a pastor in South Florida. I've not ever held any denominational position. And so I would be a true outsider coming in. So pray that if this is God's will, he'll make it happen. Pray that God will help me also to maintain consistency, not to dishonor him in anything I say or do. But if you're a member of a Southern Baptist church, talk to your leaders. You've got to get messengers to Anaheim. The only way that we can change the direction of the SBC is to operate within our polity, which begins with electing a president who sees these things and is willing to take a stand to begin the process of change. It's going to take years, but starting is always the hardest part. And we've got an opportunity to start in Anaheim. So I would plead with Southern Baptists to go to Anaheim. It's expensive. It's inconvenient. I've talked to pastors that are driving out there, staying in their cars and going to vote and then come home because they can't afford to stay in hotels. And I know it's hard, but if we are committed to seeing change, this is the only way that it can happen under the polity that we have in the convention. So you have to show up for a 2-day business meeting, June the 14th and 15th in Anaheim, California. You have to register as a messenger from your church and go and sit through the business meeting and vote for a change of direction. And if God raises up enough Southern Baptists to do it, then we will see a change. There's 47,000 churches in the SBC. Amen. And no more than about 8,000 to 9,000 wow. ever send messengers any year. So it wouldn't take much of the rest of that percentage to show up, and we would change the direction.
Wow. That's an unbelievable group. Super powerful. Thank you so much. We're behind you 100%. You have an open invitation to join us, and I really hope God moves in June. It's sorely needed. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you.
How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? Producer Andrew's right here doing an Ironman thanks to Relief Factor. And truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. That can do it, getting older, which is why I'm so impressed with the people at ReliefFactor.com. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back pain, neck pain, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted, only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now, ReliefFactor.com. You should order the 3-week quick start too, discount only $19.95. See if it will work for you. I think it possibly could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now. So we're now in the midst of a national gun control debate. I didn't ask for it. You didn't ask for it. But we're in the middle of it. The Texas school shooter was known to police and bullied by classmates. Every time there is one of these shootings, the only exception would be the Vegas shooting, which we still do not know much about. One of the most bizarre and inexplicable events in history. That is the outlier. With that one being the outlier, every one of these tragic events, there are people that say, oh yeah, he was said this or he did this. Or, for example, the individual that was shooting, that committed the Marjory Stoneman Douglas shooting in Parkland, Florida, would walk through the quad of Marjory Stoneman Douglas School, pantomiming shooting people with his gun, with his hands as guns. As soon as there were gunshots at Marjory Stoneman Douglas School in Parkland, Florida, people said, oh, it must be, and we don't say his name on the program. They knew immediately. There are almost always warning signs before these tragic and evil acts happen, which again, if you're hearing this and if your son or your daughter says, oh yeah, you know, this person at school is talking really weird, intervention is necessary. Immediate intervention. Here's a brand new update from Bill Malusian, Play Cut 65. Let's play Cut 65.
Bill, good morning to you. Just a few moments ago, I got a brand new update from Texas DPS telling me there are still 17 people injured as a result of this mass shooting. Specifically, University Health in San Antonio, a hospital, they're reporting they are still treating a 10-year-old girl who is in serious life-threatening condition. They are treating a 10-year-old and a 9-year-old who are both in good condition, and they are treating a 66-year-old woman who is in serious life-threatening condition. That is believed to be the shooter's grandmother, and Texas DPS tells me he shot her in the face before he went over here to this school to commit this mass shooting.
And let's continue with Cut 66, please.
Take a look at this video. This is that shooter going into the school yesterday, identified as 18-year-old Salvatore Ramos. Again, he was a local here in Uvalde who police tell us, again, the only person they know who has a connection to him right now is the grandma who he shot in the face. And he did that shortly before he arrived at the school.
So the nationwide gun debate is going to continue to rage. It's going to reach a fever pitch. We must understand, why do we have a Second Amendment? What is the purpose of the Second Amendment? Is it for hunting? Is it to protect you against invaders in your home? No. Those things are nice byproducts of the intent of the Second Amendment, but the Second Amendment is designed to protect all the other amendments. Second Amendment is the Freedom Amendment because it is a check on government tyranny and power. Governor Greg Abbott of Texas is having a press conference. Let's throw to that live.
Is to ensure that the community is not going to be ripped apart. All Texans must come together and support the families who have been affected by this horrific tragedy. What they need now more than ever is our love. What they need is uplifting from all of our fellow Texans and all of our fellow Americans. And let me emphasize something that I know you all know. But the reality is, as horrible as what happened, it could have been worse. The reason it was not worse is because law enforcement officials did what they do. They showed amazing courage by running toward gunfire for the singular purpose of trying to save lives. And it is a fact that because of their quick response, getting on the scene, being able to respond to the gunman and eliminate the gunman, they were able to save lives. Unfortunately, not enough. But I want to make sure that everybody knows all of the law enforcement agencies and groups that are involved and were involved in this process. The Texas Rangers are leading the investigation, and they are supported by the Texas Department of Public Safety Highway Patrol, the Texas Department of Public Safety Criminal Investigative Division, DPS Aircraft, DPS Intelligence Counterterrorism Division, DPS Crime and Victim Support. They're also supported by the Texas Division of Emergency Management, the FBI, as well as multiple federal partners, including the DEA, ATF, HSI, and Border Patrol. And then, of course, the valiant local officials, the Uvalde Sheriff's Department, Uvalde Police Department, Uvalde Independent School District Police, Uvalde County Constables, Uvalde Mayor, the County Judge, Uvalde District Attorney's Office, local public works and surrounding police department, and the San Antonio Police and Fire Department also. Let me walk you through some of the facts of what has happened. There's been a lot of things that have been said. Some are correct, some are incorrect. Let me tell you the best information that we have at this time, understanding very importantly that this is an ongoing investigation, and ongoing investigations often reveal new information as those investigations progress. The first thing that happened was that the gunman shot his grandmother in the face. She then contacted police. The gunman fled, and as he was fleeing, he had an accident just outside of the elementary school, and he ran into the school. Officers with the Consolidated Independent School District, they approached the gunman and engaged with the gunman at that time. The gunman then entered a back door and went down two short hallways and then into a classroom on the left-hand side. The gunroom entered into that classroom, and the classroom was connected internally to another classroom. Border Patrol, Consolidated ISD officers, police, sheriffs, and DPS officers converged on that classroom, and a Border Patrol officer killed the gunman. As I said, Texas Rangers are leading the investigation, joined by federal, state, and local law enforcement officials. At this time, we know that 19 children have lost their lives. two faculty members lost their lives. In addition to that, there are 17 people who are injured, but their injuries are not life-threatening. All family members of all of these students and faculty members have been contacted and informed about the circumstances. Officials are working with parents to ensure that their parents are going to be able to see their children. Parents should contact victim services at the County Fairplex. We know that there are parents still striving to make a connection. All parents are welcome and urged to contact victim services at the County Fairplex. The gunman was 18 years old and reportedly a high school dropout. Reportedly, there has been no criminal history identified yet. He may have had a juvenile record, but that is yet to be determined. There was no known mental health history of the gunman. He used one weapon, which was an AR-15, using 223 rounds. There was no meaningful forewarning of this crime, other than what I'm about to tell you. As of this time, the only information that was known in advance was posted by the gunman on Facebook approximately 30 minutes before reaching the school. The first post was to the point of, he said, "I'm going to shoot my grandmother." The second post was, "I shot my grandmother." The third post, maybe less than 15 minutes before arriving at the school, was, "I'm going to shoot an elementary school." I mentioned that during the shootout that took place at the school, in addition to the students and the faculty, there were three officers who were injured who were all remaining in good condition. One deputy sheriff lost a daughter in that school. Before coming out here, we had a long discussion with law enforcement at all levels. We had a discussion with community leaders, elected officials. And I asked the sheriff and others an open-ended question and got the same answer from the sheriff as well as from the mayor of Uvalde. The question was, what is the problem here? And they were straightforward and emphatic. They said, we have a problem with mental health illness in this community. And then they elaborated on the magnitude of the mental health challenges that they are facing in the community and the need for more mental health support in this region. I want to make sure everybody understands the mental health services that are available at this time. With me making one clarifying point in advance that I'm going to redouble down in the aftermath. Whenever anything as shocking and extraordinary and disturbing as this event is, occurs, there is an urgent need for everybody affected to access mental health. I cannot be more emphatic than saying with great urgency, everybody in this community, I mean everybody, the victims, the families, family members, friends, the law enforcement involved, but the entire community is in utter shock about this. Some physical wounds that were sustained by the officers, they're going to heal in the coming days. The mental and emotional wounds are far harder to see and last far longer. The state of Texas, working with federal and local officials and agencies, we're going to be here for a long, long time. And one key point that we will focus on is making sure that everybody in this community has the access they need for as long as they need it to address with the mental and emotional health care needs that they have. I want to list various agencies and make sure these are made available to the public. The mental health services currently available are from victim services from across the area, from federal, state, and local levels, including the Family Resource Center at the Uvalde County Fairplex. Schools have crisis teams at the Uvalde Civic Center. They provide wraparound services for families who are affected. The Texas Child Mental Health Consortium, created by the state legislature in 2019, is available to assist. The Blue Bonnet Children's Advocacy Center is available to provide services for children. The Texas Health and Human Services Commission is on site and will be available for ongoing provision of services. The Texas Education Agency is providing.
That's a speech that Joe Biden should have gave. But that is not the president that we have. I'm going to go back to the Texas press conference. Dan Patrick, the great lieutenant governor there, good American, is speaking, and so is Greg Abbott. I disagree with Governor Abbott on things, but he gave a phenomenal press conference. He deserves credit for that. Let's go back.
I said this yesterday. When people are at each other's throats everywhere we turn, whether it's on the internet or an Oscar stage or two coaches arguing or in the political world or the media world, who are we? As an American people, who are we? We all have to do our part. All do our part to make us a better people and a better nation. Evil will always walk among us. And in times like this, I've seen it. The governor has seen it. The speaker has seen it. The senators have seen it. The attorney general has seen it. In these other shootings, Sutherland Springs, El Paso, Odessa, Santa Fe. It's God that brings a community together. It's God that heals a community. It's God that heals a shattered and broken heart. And if we don't turn back as a nation to understanding what we were founded upon and what we were taught by our parents and what we believe in, then these situations will only get worse and happen more often. So, no matter what your thoughts are today, pray for these families. Pray for this community. Give us wisdom. Give us wisdom. But right now, let's focus on the families. They deserve that. They need our love. They need our prayers. Thank you, Governor.
And now the Speaker of the House, Dade Phelan.
Thank you, Governor. I appreciate it. Mayor, I'm sorry you had to witness that outburst. Now is not the time to politicize pain and suffering. This time of year should be the happiest time in a child's life. Summertime, getting out of school, enjoying your family and your friends. And instead, this community is faced with an unspeakable tragedy.
So they're referencing at this press conference, Greg Abbott and Dan Patrick, they're referencing an outburst. In fact, I have a tape here. Boom. Got it right here. Let's try to get this loaded up. So Robert Francis O'Rourke, who the former congressman who is running against Greg Abbott, interrupts the press conference and comes up to the front and starts screaming at Greg Abbott like a teenager. So Beto O'Rourke just bum rushes the stage and starts screaming at them. This is exactly what the left does. The bodies have not yet been identified. The blood has not yet been cleaned up. And Beto O'Rourke bum rushes the stage like a narcissistic politician that he is, all about himself, with the cameras flooding around him, people taking pictures as he starts screaming, and he starts all about him, not about the children. And remember, Beto O'Rourke said, hell yes, we're going to take your guns. Hell yes, we're going to take your guns. It's an immature child does something like that. That goes and interrupts an event, and the media just loves it. They just start to take pictures, and the whole thing is Beto bum rushes the stage. And he's going to get all the sorts of media hits. Oh yes, Rachel Maddow, I just couldn't take it any longer. I couldn't sit there idly by. It's all about you, man. It's all about you and your upcoming failed governor's race, where you are going to go into the oblivion of political irrelevancy in Texas, where you run for Senate and you lose, and you run for president and you lose, and you run for governor and you lose. You see, Robert Francis O'Rourke has created a cottage industry around losing statewide in Texas. I give credit to Greg Abbott and Dan Patrick. They're handling it the right way. We're learning a lot about the situation in Uvalde. And Robert Francis O'Rourke starts screaming like a child, interrupting the entire press conference, screaming at a governor a position that he will never hold. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.